If I asked my next guest, David Ruskelly, for his business card, it probably says multiple mountain climber on it. I'll ask if it does. If it doesn't, well, it should, because that's him in a nutshell. The guy grew up in Chicagoland. He's climbed all the big ones, you name it. He's been to the top of it and back. That is, except for one, which he intends to take care of in short order. The last email I got from you was a couple of months ago. You sent it from, you must have been more than 3 miles up near a base camp at Everest in Nepal.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. So base camp is 17,500 feet approximately. So quite a little bit higher, almost 17,000 feet higher than Chicago here. But
I wouldn't have thought that there was internet service there.
Yeah, interesting. They have in a town called Gorik Shep, which is a few small lodges, they have cell towers, 3G, in fact. And
not 4G.
Not 4G. We have 3G.
Get with the modern program, people.
It runs off of solar. So it's interesting, when the sun goes down, no more cell coverage.
That's cool. So you were checking emails from the base, your base camp of Mount Everest.
Yeah.
That just doesn't seem right. It
does
should be a little harder than
seems
that.
It seems a tad askew, yes.
So you did Everest. That is the big one, and you accomplished that this past spring.
Correct.
Now, how significantly different, if at all, was it compared to all the other big ones you've gone up and down on?
Yeah, this is because this is the big one. It takes a lot bigger time commitment. So you're gone about 2 months, and the altitude is the big equalizer. So it's 29,029 feet, 8,848 meters, incredibly high. And the other ones, the other seven summits on the seven continents, which is what I'm climbing. The second highest one is Aconcagua down in Argentina, which is approximately 23,000. There's a big difference between 23 and 29.
It's a mile lower.
Effectively.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Yeah, and there's a big difference.
How do you train for this?
So I live in Utah. I live in Salt Lake, and where my house is about a mile high. And I run up in the mountains all the time, and I backcountry ski, and so I'm at elevation quite a little bit. That's really the only way you can effectively train for
it. Is it muscles? Is it cardio? What is it that's...
It's all of the above. Yeah. You bring everything to the table when you climb a mountain like that. So your cardio, gym workouts. The cardio, I think, is the big one. If your heart isn't in shape, if your resting heart rate... So my resting heart rate is probably in the 40s. If your resting heart rate isn't pretty low at sea level or at lower elevation, it's going to be racing up high at elevation, and you're not going to be able to sleep or function.
Anything unexpected happen?
Good question. You know, actually, it went pretty smooth. We had some weather hiccups.
Because
my goodness,
the weather can change in a moment.
Yeah, and we did have weather roll in, and that changed plans, but you're absolutely right. The weather is another great equalizer. You can't control it, and nobody knows what's going to do. There's some folks that do that have a really good forecasting service. There's some Swiss groups that do that, and there's a guy out of Seattle that does it as well. But still, you get up there and the weather comes in, you're having a bad day.
You went to Stevenson High School, and you were saying you were going to take a banner from that school and take it to the top. Did you do that?
I did. So I played soccer at Stevenson, graduated in 86, and loved Stevenson. I could credit, you know, part of my education at Stevenson with getting me where I summited. But I thought it'd be a good idea to take a little banner up there and got a picture at the top with it.
You have a Facebook page where you got some of this stuff posted?
I don't have a Facebook page, but I have a blog. Well, I'm 44, so I'm not really a Facebook guy.
I'm a little older, and I'm certainly into it.
My wife has a Facebook page. She maintains it for me. But I did have a blog. I maintained a blog.
And what's that address?
That is an excellent question. So it's...
You don't know.
I haven't looked at it for a while. But
are you updating it semi-regularly?
It's not anymore.
Oh,
but
come on.
I think it's Ruskelly Everest 2013.
But you're not sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Margaret Larkin just ventured to say that is the address.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you for saving me.
Here's the question. I mean, this is the obvious question. You've certainly been asked it. Why do you do this?
Yep, great question. So the quick answer is because it's there. You know, that's kind of the snappy answer, but...
But it's there for all of us, but not in a way that compels us to commit so much of our lives and to invest so much work and preparation into doing this.
Right, so twofold, two reasons. The first is I think it's hardwired into my DNA. I like to do hard things. I love a challenge. If somebody tells me I can't do something, look out. I may not accomplish it, but I'll give it my best try.
Is that predetermined?
Well, I think it's
birth?
DNA.
Upbringing your parents would challenge you to do things and you felt victories through your
not
life?
Not necessarily, but yes, a little bit. I think so. I mean, I'm always trying to achieve and reach the top of whatever I do, but it's definitely hardwired in me. I know that. And then the second reason is I like to set a good example for specifically my kids and other youth. So I have three boys, teenagers, and while I don't necessarily think they have to climb Everest, if they wanted to, that's wonderful. My middle son is interested in doing it. I don't know if my other two boys are. If they want to, wonderful, but they don't have to if they didn't want to.
Well, as a parent, and you say you're trying to be an inspiration for kids in general, do you think that modern Americans in this age of electronics and easy lives courtesy of machines, whether it's escalators, elevators, cars, or planes, you think our lives are just too soft?
Yeah, I do. I think kids should get off the electronics. I'm just as guilty. I'm on my phone and texting and things. I think there's something about getting off the electronics, getting out in nature, and again, doing things that are difficult away from electronic interferences that opens your mind and does wonderful things for you.
That Argentinian mountain, is that the last and next one for you?
No, the last one of the seven summits. So what I'm trying to do is the seven highest points on the seven different continents. So Everest was Asia, and it also happens to be the high point of the world. Antarctica is the last one, so I need to go down there, and the mountain down there is called Vincent Massif. It's about 16,000 and some change. The hard part of that one, definitely any mountain you're climbing is difficult, but the travel. So you have to go down to Chile, and you fly from Punta Arenas down to the continent itself, and going across the Drake Passage is quite challenging.
This is expensive.
It is expensive.
What do you
That's
do
true.
As a day job to cover this obsession, passion?
Yep. So I do two things. I'm adjunct faculty at the University of Utah, so I teach. And then I'm principal and partner in an environmental engineering firm. And I have great people working for me. And I have a great wife and family that supports my craziness. And just very
She's
wonderful.
Shaking her head, yes.
Yep.
It's so, all true. He is crazy.
when I came back, I did have to pay some bonuses to some folks that did a very, very good job for me while I was away.
So when is that trip going to take place?
Oh, you know what? A couple of years. I've definitely, you only can go there in our winter. So our winter is their summer because of obviously mm-hmm. the way the earth tips. And so you go over Christmas, December, New Year's, that kind of thing. And we definitely won't do it this year. Maybe 14 or 15.
And then what? You retire from this fantasy life of climbing?
I run a lot. And so I've explored the option of ultra running, like 100-mile races, that kind of thing. Just test my body, see how I do.
We have a caller wanted to know if you climbed. Is it K28?
So K2 is the second highest mountain in Asia. I have not, and I would not because the death rate, the mortality rate on that is quite high, and with family and kids, I don't think it's responsible.
Do you ride motorcycles? Do you
I do not know.
Ski jump? And...
I do backcountry skiing, but it's interesting because a lot of the climbers that you meet, mountain climbers, that is, not rock climbers, but mountain climbers, they aren't necessarily adrenaline junkies, and I personally wouldn't call myself an adrenaline junkie. There are some, but for the most part, the climbers that you meet on high mountains are very calculated, doctors, individuals that can handle stress. And
sober souls.
Sober souls,
rather than risk,
yeah.
Thrill-seeking
types. I think so, yeah.
So what does it say on your business card?
It does say, it says principal of my business, oh, environmental engineering, yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say highest mountain climber.
Multiple mountain climber. That's what I think you need to put on there. Is there any way we can, you don't have you have this loose blog, you don't have a website, you don't do Facebook. Any place we can go to keep track of your happenings?
Oh, I haven't really, done anything to keep track of anything. I probably should, but maybe the next time I go down to Antarctica, I'd update a blog.
You need marketing help.
No, no.
Because you're going to write a book. Come on,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. I don't know.
I mean, there's a book in you.
Perhaps.
I mean, you could weave all these stories into this idea of motivation.
Has my mom been talking to you?
No, it just seems self-evident. David Ross Kelly, thank you very much.
Thank you.